Are we doing it? Are we doing it? Let's take it back to the Concrete Street original Pizza Real Live MC.
Playground Tactics. I wrapped it in a hat trick. Just that wrapped it from. No, just that I messed it up.
We were sitting out on the step, you know.
Ain't nothing to it. So what you gonna do around this?
Yo, man, I'ma go handle this brother. I know the black man, and see what his head is all about.
Now I'ma say this one time for you, and that's my word.
We rock a shot to knock fire through the Hindenburg.
The contribution is clear.
You add water to bone and get the Jurassic vibe on the microphone.
Now if you like the tone
and how the harmony's done
and the sucker MC's died before they begun,
well I'd like to know if you got the notion.
Welcome to week 3 and 4 of the year of hip hop, or the solitary fish finger. The Solitary Fisheringer podcast.
It's not a podcast, but it's a recorded conversation. that's being put on a medium that will allow external people to listen to it should they wish they already put it that way.
We'll call it a bootleg.
Yeah.
We'll be outside Brixton Station selling it on CDs.
Yes.
Giving it away.
Indeed, I do remember a CD that I bought, a hip-hop CD actually, that I bought when I was about 13 from just outside Nike Town at Oxford Circus, and it was banging. It was sick. I loved it. I need to find that, but it's gone. I wonder what happened to that, Brett. I was so scared of him.
Then now... Yeah. They're now the streets, and it was original pirate material that you got first of all, wasn't it?
I should dig that out. It might be worth a fortune. Yeah.
Or they're all dead, one or the other. Weeks 3 and 4, we have week 3 with Jurassic 5.
Yeah,
J5. And then week 4 with Jay-Z and The Blueprint.
The Blueprint, indeed. So a really interesting couple of weeks for me, I feel, before you go into any detail. I felt that it was interesting that these two albums came next to each other, because they are very nostalgic for me, and they took me back to a very specific point in my teenage development. Like, both of these albums existed side by side in my life when I was like 14, like year 9, year 10, that sort of bit there. Both of these albums were on heavy rotation then, so it's a bit like, oh great, maybe was it four? Yeah, it must have been. What year did The Blueprint come out?
Blueprint came out when 2001,
it was a few years, it was out for a few years, so it must have been when I was about 13, 14 then, because I remember it had been out for a couple of years when I got into it, so fuck me, we're going back to like year 9 here, mate.
It's a long time ago, mate. It's a long time ago. Jay-Z, the Jay-Z album, listen to that. Before, like, so obviously some of the songs I hadn't listened to it all, but the Jurassic 5 album, J5, like, first time I've listened to that again,
really,
which with a lot of this, yeah, this is why it says the year of hip hop, and
that's what
I think I'll be saying that a lot this year.
Yeah, the year of hip hop, cool. Well, I guess without any further ado, we should kick off with J5.
Yeah, let's kick off with some J5.
Great. Jingle.
Yeah. Test. 1, 2. One. Press the panic button, brother.
We be the crew. Get
guess who? The J-U-R-A-S-S-I-C. Where? In the place to be. It don't stop. We got the rhythm that makes your fingers snap.
Jurassic Park, I want to know what you thought about this first before I let you know my thoughts about it.
I have actually made some notes.
Okay. Interesting.
To be honest, so for me, it was a... I call it like the best sort of afters after like the moody starter of the Fugees. You go into like a really big feast of a main course with Wu-Tang Clan. I think that Jurassic 5, J5 were like the perfect sort of afters. Do you know what I mean? Like
it's a very different thing. To those two albums completely.
It's really different, and it was so there was so much energy. Like obviously there were some like really great songs on there that I absolutely adored, and Concrete Schoolyard.
Yeah, it's the...
brilliant. But yeah, it was definitely an interesting one. First West Coast band.
Yeah. I was just about to say that, yeah. Just about to say that.
I thought I'd get that in there. But no, what were your thoughts about it, though, anyway?
Right, so... This is controversial. And this is controversial to my younger self as well. After the first listen, I listened to it for the first time and I was, like, overcome with... really positive nostalgia, and then like the second listen I was like, I'm not feeling this, and I don't know
I'm
where
so
that came from.
That. And, you know, we the first two albums that we listened to, the Fugees and then
Wu-Tang, I think we went too big on the first two.
Look, it's a fantastic album. I want to get out of there. Like, really great album. But
great album.
Definitely, at times, I was thinking, hurry up.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the thing, I think, for me, was, like, there were... I think this is the first album... This is the third album of our little journey... And it's the first album that it's not 100% perfect. And I think it suffered for that because maybe I think we're being harsh because it is a fucking good album. But there's like, I can't remember how many tracks it is, but I think there's like five banging tracks on it. Yeah. And then there's a bit of filler. And then there's literal filler where there's just a bit of mixing. And I'm like, and I really used to get really excited about that because that was when I was like quite into the culture around hip hop and like the b-boy and the breaking, the graph writing, the scratching.
Yeah.
And for me, like scratching and cutting and that sort of stuff, I think I've grown out of that. And that's still quite present in this album. So, I think...
Youthful, Sammy. Youthful.
Yeah, I think that dates it, to be honest with you. I think that dates it, that sort of stuff. I think that some of the tunes have aged well. Like, I think, like, the first half of the album is great. Yeah. And then I reckon after sort of track 7... Action Satisfaction, I could have just left it there, to be honest with you.
It's so true though. Like the first five tracks were really good for me. Like they were really, really good. But then I don't know whether it was just you didn't need to keep that momentum for the whole of the album. Like it was a lot of energy at the very start of it. But yeah, it was. I'm so glad that you thought that as well. I thought, oh my god, he's gonna kill me.
No, I know. I it's odd. I just it's weird. Like going back to an album that I've not listened to in, I don't know. It's got to be. We're probably knocking on close to 10 years. I'd say. I wouldn't have thought I'd listened to it. Well, actually, when did I go and see them? I went to see them at Brixton. God, that must have been just before going to the University of Brighton. So that must have been 2007 I saw them. So when I was at uni, I was quite into them. And I don't
10-year reunion.
Yeah, I think I felt that way. Like, I don't think I'd listened to it since my early 20s. And it, like I said, it was like bumping into an old friend and enjoying a couple of pints, but I don't want to go out with them next weekend.
I know what you mean. Bumping into an old mate that you used to have a lot of fun with.
Yeah.
And then realise that they slowly carried on having a lot more fun than you, and you were like,
yeah,
once is enough.
Yeah. But... yeah, that's kind of how I felt. So let's go into the nitty gritty. I think the first couple of songs, like obviously In the Flesh is really good. Yeah. I think that's a cracking opener. JU is just great fun, I think.
JU is brilliant.
Yeah. It's so good, and that's really good fun. And then Concrete Schoolyard hits you as well, which is really good fun as well.
Are we doing it? Are we doing it? Let's take it back to the Concrete Streets, original beat to Real Live MCs.
Playground Tactics, the rap in a hat trick, just that rap kit from... Oh, just that I've messed it up. That's what happens when you're a middle-aged white man trying to rap to things on a Sunday night. But no, so I thought there was some good stuff there. I think it's the first album that's not about being a gangster or hardship and stuff. So, like, obviously the Fugees, the score's like, that's good fun, but it's all about, there's a lot of stuff about how shit life is. And then
a lot of political
stuff going on. And
then
I don't need to say anything about Wu Tang. And then you end up with this that's like quite upbeat and West Coast and positive, and it was very indicative of this sort of what the stuff that was coming out of, like, I think in LA at the time there was a bit of a fight back against the gangster shit that had been going on there for years. So when people were talking about like West Coast, East Coast, like West Coast, you're thinking of like NWA and Tupac, and well, what it evolved out of NWA and then became various other artists on the back of that, like the whole Death Row scene. And this was a bit like, actually, like West Coast can be quite positive and California, man. And like, and that's what was going on here.
Do you know then with that West Coast though, because I was just doing, I did a little bit of, first of all, there is hardly anything out there about Jurassic 5, right? So I tried to look at some YouTube videos. I remember the first 2 weeks with Fugees and Wu, I was able to send you stuff of some things that they've recorded in the past or whatever it was. But with J5, there wasn't anything there. So I saw this like dodgy interview on YouTube with a couple of them at like the backstage festival something like Coachella or something like that. But I don't think it was Coachella actually, so I'll take that back. But there was definitely a few dodgy interviews. There was nothing about them. There's nothing about them.
No, they're pretty humble folks. I mean, so I've met them all.
Oh, nice. That's a story. Sweaty were you when you met them?
Pretty sweaty. I was very stoned. We were at Brixton, and so this must have been 2006, 2007, and it was back in the, it was before the smoking ban, so maybe it was 2006, and so back when you could still smoke inside. And naturally, like, Brixton was just like, it was just a massive hotbox. Like, everyone was just smoking zoots the entire way through the gig. And it was great fun. We were drinking beers and whatever. And I don't know if they still did. They didn't do it when I saw Wu-Tang there and a few others. But for this gig, like, they kept it open after after the gig, so you could just hang around, and like all the bars were open, and it just like you could just hang around in there for a few hours. So we stayed behind because and we're drinking beers, like just having a few pints and smoking a few more joints, and gradually like the crowd dispersed and there wasn't that many people left behind.
Yeah.
And then they all just came out. There was about there was about 50 people left in Brixton Academy in like little crowds about 2 hours after the gig had finished. And they all just walked out, and they were all just like drinking. Some of them don't drink, like just walking up to the little groups of people and just like, yeah, what do you think of that?
Just chatting.
Yeah, yeah. I've got my ticket.
Focus groups at the end of it.
Tonight, just really nice guys just came out and just like having a chat with everyone, and like just came and just had a chat and was like, yeah, we're gonna go out, we're gonna do this, like just really like
you got any recommendations on where to go? Did you tell them to go to the McDonald's on the Brixton High Street?
I remember just being like completely, I was like what the hell is going on here? And so I got my ticket from that gig. I've got it somewhere, and they all signed it.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. I was quite taken aback. Yeah, all five of them.
We do love personal stories at the Solitary Fish Finger.
Yeah.
This is great. This is
came out of nowhere. It was back in the days before smartphones and everything, of course. So there's no photographic evidence of me smoking a bifter next to Charlie Toon.
Are you sure you didn't want to try and, like, what is it? Disposable cameras back then. Taking a photo in the dark and then realise that you're not taking a picture of anything.
I've still got like 8 disposable cameras that I've never got developed. And I think 3 of them are from when I went to Max Power Live at the Lexel Arena. And that's what I met Victoria Silverstone there. That's a story for another day.
That's a different story. I like that. Yeah. I like that. So should we get on to the choices? So what would be your top 2 favourite songs from the album?
Nicely moved on. I'm gonna take Concrete Schoolyard because I don't want you to have it.
I knew you were gonna say that. a second one?
I'm gonna let you do one, then I'll do one.
I'm going for JU.
Nice.
Those two, probably the best bangers on the biggest bangers on that album. I'd say so.
I'm torn between In the Flesh and Action Satisfaction. I'm going with In the Flesh.
Well, I was going to go for Action Satisfaction, so there we have it.
Thank you very much. There you go. A unanimous decision.
Yeah, I think it was just like, I wanted to reiterate, like it was a really great album, but it just, I think going in after those first two, it was just a bit like, whoa. I wasn't expecting not to love the whole thing.
But
it was nice, though. It was nice to see that there can be flaws in the year of hip-hop. Obviously, yeah. Can't wait for the 50 Cent week. We're going to have to go big on that week.
I want Tim Westwood-style horns. I want all of that. There's going to be a few fun weeks like that. There's going to be the 50 Cent one. I think the DMX week is going to be good fun as well, because that album is by no means classic. It's just a favourite of mine. And again, I just enjoy that.
Why not?
It's just... No, I agree. I think it's a good album. I didn't go near that second disc on Spotify. I thought,
No chance.
Am I going for the deluxe edition?
Spotify is not a platform to listen to whole albums without there being like loads of fluff around it.
Yeah, I think there's stuff added into this deluxe edition as well that I don't remember being on the original album, and I don't think it was a better experience because of it. So, no. Yeah.
No. Didn't like that.
How many stars?
I'm giving it three.
Okay.
Purely because of the two amazing albums that we listened to before.
Mm. Okay, so it's three stars in the context of the albums that we're all listening
to. Yeah, like this is still like a 5 out of 5 compared to a lot of other albums.
Okay. I understand that. I'm gonna on that basis, I think I'll give it a 3.5 stars, and that's purely because of the nostalgia factor. I think if I was in your situation, I don't know how I'd feel about it. But yeah.
Yeah, I would say that 0.5 definitely came from their signatures.
Exactly. And they knew what they were doing. They were planting that seed.
Inception. And we're back.
We're back.
So, week four. Can you imagine it? We're in 4 weeks of this now. First month.
Yeah. I know. Technically, it's 0.5, but we're not gonna
say anything about that. Recorded 1 week late.
Yes, indeed. So on to the blueprint.
Out there for their purchase, we surely appreciate it. Woo! But you about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this? Vibe with me.
Walk with a nigga, man.
Vibe with me. Yeah, gather round, hustlers, that's if you're still living. And get on down to that old jig rhythm. Here's a couple of jewels to help you get through your bit in prison. A ribbon in the sky, keep your head high. Young Vito, voice of the young people. Mouthpiece for hustlers, I'm back, motherfuckers. Your reign on the top was shorter than leprechauns. You can't fuck with ho, what type of ex you're on? I got great lawyers for cops, so dress warm. Charges don't stick to duty, Teflon. I'm too sexy for jail like I'm right.
I didn't realize it was The Blueprint for a long time. I was just calling it Blueprint.
Blueprint, The Blueprint. I think, this is a fascinating album to come back to, and I just thought it was we're going back up into classic territory again now.
Yeah. The Jigger Man.
Yeah.
The Jigger Man.
I thought this was like from the beginning, as soon as I started playing it. That introduction when he's like thanking everyone for buying his album and stuff like that, like the fucking audacity of just starting an album like that.
A little thank you.
Yeah, and it's just like, and it just goes from there, and the whole thing is just like, it's weird, like, and it's the changing of Jay-Z. And I don't think people realised it at the time, but like it's called like The Blueprint, and I've not looked up on this, and people might be thinking, oh, you dickhead, of course that's what it's all about. But it's like the blueprint for his future career, because he'd had a career up until this point, and it was actually a very different career. And then like this album changed the game in a lot of ways, like for him and for commercial rap music as well.
This is number two, right? This is his second album.
No, I think this is like his he's had several, yeah, quite a few until this point. I think it was his fourth or fifth album. So he had Reasonable Doubt, which was his first album, and then In My Lifetime, Volume 1, Volume 2, Hard Knock Life,
Yeah.
Volume 3, The Life and Times of S. Carter. The Dynasty, then The Blueprint. So, yeah, he'd had several albums already beforehand. So
I'm a bit disappointed at his name, Sean, to be honest.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll go from there. But seriously, though, this album is so good.
Do you remember the lad at so uni good. That was called Sean that had his name Sean tattooed on his arm?
Just so you wouldn't forget.
What kind of uni did we go to? Anyhow, I shouldn't say
it was,
that.
Yeah, it was one of the best in the world. We'll leave it there. We'll let you guys
anyway,
decide.
This album was, yeah, it's great. We're back in the realms of really good fun, like, really...
Greatness.
Yeah, absolute greatness. And as we were saying, like, it's just like, it's really eclectic as well. And I think you can... Like in earlier albums, he's trying this new stuff. So he started off as this very fast rapper, and then he's like trying this new style. It's changing, and the beef with Nas starts because everyone's like, "Well, you've copied Nas's style because you've gone from being a very fast rapper to being a very slow rapper."
And we'll get onto it in a bit with like Takeover. We'll have a little bit of a moment on that. But I found out how that beef started.
How did it start?
There was a no-show at someone's concert. I think Jay-Z didn't turn up to Nas's concert, and then that's where it just...
They were really good mates at the beginning. I know that happened because they basically grew up in the same place. And then
I think
something like that. And then they split apart, and then I think they're good mates again now. But yeah, and then it was just like... It was a lot of calls of him like copying Nas. Nas was calling him out for that, and then this was his like way of saying, "Yeah, I've kind of copied you, but I've made it 10 times better." And also, he had people like Kanye West on board, who were just really like miles ahead,
exploding at the time. Like, I didn't realize that. I think you told me that West produced the album.
Oh, yeah, he was. I don't think he did the whole album, but he did like. A lot of the songs on the album and helped co-write and co-produce the whole thing. So, yeah, and there's a lot.
He would have been so young as well then, right? He wouldn't have been. A bit younger than.
I think
Jay-Z.
He's a bit younger, but he's not. He's not a Kanye's not a spring chicken. So.
Yeah.
But Jay-Z's in his, I think he says it in one of the lines in one of the songs. I think he's in his thirties when he drops this album. And I don't think I clocked it when I used to listen to this album. And then when Kanye West College Dropout came out, there's a huge link, which was only like 2 years, 1 year, 2 years after this. There's a huge link between the two albums, but. You can hear in this album like how the influence of Kanye all the way through it, like you can hear it, and there's particular songs like Never Change, for example, which is like you listen to that and you're like, this is a Kanye song.
I am a rock representer, oh, summer to winter, oh, dead or alive, 24-7, 365, one CD of 360 pies. What's up to Ian Kirk, welcome home to Taj, but no amount of money ruin this thing of ours, we run streets like drunks, run street lights, we collide with life as we speak, we need deep and cold,
What a fantastic like artist, though, right? You know, like just at the start of his career before he went a little bit crazy towards the end.
This was when he was good, yeah.
This is when he was good, but I think this album is brilliant, though. I do remember listening to some of the songs when I was a bit younger. Izzo, especially.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You know, I think what you said about Jay-Z being a particularly horny man.
Yeah, very horny man at this period of time. he hadn't met Beyonce, and there's a lot of talk of what he wants to do to women in this, and it's very, very female focused, so that's quite interesting, I think. Bit of a perv.
Yeah, bit slight perv up there. But anyway, I was going to ask you, right, if you had beef with one rapper,
yeah,
who would that beef be with?
I think it would be with Jay-Z. Because one, I've never been very good at picking my battles, and the person I'd pick a battle with would be the person who goes on to become a billionaire mogul in the industry. So that's the payback I get. And two, I think he's a flash, and I don't like that. And I know that's saying something in a hip hop world, which is all about being flash. But I don't know. I get this thing like all through this album is it's like I enjoy all of the songs and they're great and they're good fun, yeah, and there's a lot of energy, but I do not like the man Jay-Z at any point throughout this album. It's
you're
an absolute arrogant bellend, and it's clear, at this point as he's going through, he's like, he properly backs himself.
He knows he's good. I think that he knows that he's incredible at this stage, and I think that's why he's got like the swag about it as well. There's an arrogance that.
Yeah,
I think that you need. I think that you can see it though with Kanye as well. Like these guys need that arrogance in order to be so good. But some of these tracks were brilliant.
Yeah.
Girls.
Yeah. Great song, isn't it? Girls, 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 girls. I do adore. Yeah, there's that. I think Izzo was my ringtone for a while. On my Nokia, which is great.
It's so good, isn't it?
It's quite dated, but it's dated in quite a good way. And that was, I think, the takeover as a diss track to several different people, but mostly Nas. It's just like. Yeah, like starting an album with you've got a kind of an intro song and then just going straight in, just being like, oh, fuck you. It's just like, yeah, great. And then, so it does that. And then he like really lightens the mood. Then you've got Izzo and Girls and Jigga. And like, those are like really good, fun tracks. You're like, oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay. We're back. We're having a little bit of a party.
we're having a bit of fun.
Yeah, this is a true example of an album that you should try and listen to all the way through, because it does bring you on a really nice journey, because you go through that place where you're like quite fun, and then it gets into this like Heart of the City, Never Change, yeah, Song Cry, All I Need, which is like a very, it's not necessarily emotional, but it's like quite reflective and really thoughtful and interesting tunes, and I really like that.
Yeah, it was. Do you know his intro track of The Ruler's Back?
Yeah,
kind of just tells you what sort of album this is going to be. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not.
Yeah,
you're going straight in there with a fucking great song and wang out and everything, just fucking do it, just absolutely do it. No, it was a brilliant album. I think that this was. Do you think this is probably his greatest ever album, or would you?
I don't know. I don't know. I think for me it is, but I think that is a contentious viewpoint, because The Black Album was great. That was when that was another that actually the Black Album was another level. That was
the Black Album is a really good one.
Yeah, with Dirt Off His Shoulder. That was I think that this was the album that shifted him from a hip hop audience to a pop audience, I think, and brought him like really mainstream and commercial fame. So I think the Blueprint is his best album actually, yeah.
It is a really good album. I think that you probably have a lot of his, what he's learned with his I didn't realise that he'd done so many albums before this.
Yeah.
Which makes this.
So this is what I was saying. Like, so the Jay-Z that there were two features that demonstrate early Jay-Z or two songs that demonstrate early Jay-Z that I really enjoyed, which is a tune that he did called I Can't Get With That. Which is I don't know what album it's on, but I don't think it's readily available in many places. Let me see if it's on Spotify. But it's a really like no, it's not on Spotify. Search for it'll be on YouTube somewhere. Some nerd would have put it up.
Someone's definitely uploaded it.
Yeah, it's an absolute banger, and that shows you like a really young Jay-Z with a completely different style. And the other one, which is the tune I told you to listen to, I don't know if you ever did, which is "The Graveyard" by Big L, and Jay-Z does one of the verses on that, and it's just like, oh, it's like it's so amazing, and he's got this quick tongue style back then, but he's like he flips up and comes back down and then rolls around and like this whole thing is just like so that's kind of one bit of Jay-Z, and then you park that and then you've got the Blueprint and that's amazing, and then you park that and then you've got like the later stuff, and the later stuff is not really my bag, I have to say.
Anything post like 2003 essentially.
Pretty much, I'll cut off any.
No, I think it was. Yeah, it was really good. Enjoyed it. I think that we went from Fuji's Wu-Tang J5. I think this was definitely back in like the Fuji's.
Yeah, 100%.
Wu-Tang. Yeah. We're not gonna also just go backwards and repeat every name of the band or every artist that we've listened to previously. Week one when we were on this.
I know what you mean. This is keeping the same company as that. Like this is a really like top quality album, I think.
Yeah. The Ruler's Back. The Ruler's Back.
Yeah. Featuring also Eminem crops up, which is very of that time as well. Because I'm a renegade. Oh. It's a good song.
Yeah. Great. Speaking of songs, then your two tracks.
Whoa! I don't think I thought of this before this conversation.
It's hard. I'll take one off your hands.
Yeah, go on then.
Izzo, done. All right. It's done.
All right, thanks for that. I'm going Takeover. I'm doing it.
I am thinking. I'm gonna have to do it. I'm gonna go for The Ruler's Back.
Oh, nice. Okay, well, that doesn't leave me with many. Oh. See, like I think the songs that I like on this album are not necessarily the best songs on the album. So, because I really like Never Change.
Well, it's up to you. Put it on. It's up to you.
And I like Song Cry. Oh, yeah. Girls.
We caved. We buckled.
It's not no. very 2021 of me, but it's a great song.
The thing is
the first four tracks of the album.
Did we? Oh, we did, didn't we? But I think it just proves how good this album was that, like, you can struggle, you can easily pick like six tracks from this to be in the to be in the playlist. So amazing! Wow, yeah. that's week three and four done. Go on, honourable mention.
Honourable mentions for Never Change and Song Cry, and All I Need, and Renegade.
You just want to stick the whole album in the backlog.
Get it all in. Let's go for it. I don't know if I've picked the right songs there, but I'm happy with those choices. Let's go with them for now.
We'll go with those for now. Before we even move on to the last bit, rating. What would you score this out of our arbitrary 5 stars?
The first two albums, I think Woo got 6 out of 5, didn't they? So the score was 5 out of 5. Woo was 6 out of 5. J5 was 3 out of 5. Obviously, going back naming all the different albums we've done so far, I think that this is a 4. This is a 4 out of 5 for me.
Is that a 4 out of 5 for you? I would be slapping this with a 4.5 or even a 5 out of 5. To be honest, I really enjoyed it. He's brilliant. The Jigger Man is brilliant here.
It's a banger. Well done.
I love you. I love all you. For real. I love girls, 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 girls. I do adore.
Yo, put your number on this paper, cause I would love to date you. Holla at you when I come off talk. Yeah. I got the Spanish chica, she don't like me to roam. So she calls me cabrón, plus mighty gone. So she likes to cook right, so she likes me home. I'm like, un momento, mommy, slow up your tempo. I got this black chick, she don't know how to...
Oh, we do have listener questions. Wait. Thank you to Pablo, who is over in India at the moment, and sent his listener questions in from there. I'm glad that this stupid thing that we're doing at the moment is reaching a
global reach.
So I'm actually just going to go in because they're pretty hardcore questions here. Like, what is the difference between rap and hip hop? What does hip hop stand for? So I'm actually just going to take the middle question and go with that one. So on a scale of 1, couldn't name a hip-hop artist, to 10, mastermind, specialist subject, where do you think you both are on the scale? I'll take this one first, and I'll say I'm a 1, probably.
You're a 1. Nice. Okay. Why are you saying that you're a 1? Explain.
So a 1 is basically, this is why, for the hip-hop education, I do know a few hip-hop artists and I do love some hip-hop songs, but my God, I have zero idea about anything. And a mastermind subject on this,
I
would do terrible.
Okay. This is, I think I would give myself... I think between a 5 and a 6, because I think I've got lots of knowledge about small corners of hip hop, and there is a whole world here that lots of people. So I say, even though I grew up, like, I spent my teenage years pretty much only listening after the metal and grunge stage, I pretty much only listened to hip hop from the age of about 13 to 22. And that's when like electronic music really started to pick off in my mind. And throughout that time, yeah, I loved it and knew a lot about it, but I always knew people that knew a lot more. and those people, some of them are quite functional people, some of them smoked a lot.
I was gonna say it probably depends on how much ganja you were smoking at the time.
Exactly. Fair, right? Some of them smoked a very large quantity of cannabis and spent a lot of their time not meeting girls and listening to them. And therefore, I don't think I'm at that sort of level. So I think they're around a sort of 9-10 mark. I'm probably in a 5-6 mark where I was able to not do that and pull myself away from it a little bit. So yeah,
I like it. I'm thinking, and I'm probably hoping that maybe by the end of this year, we might have progressed a couple of.
Oh yeah, I'm hoping that. I think at the end of this journey, I think if we were having this conversation in 2008, I think I'd be a 7 or an 8. But we're having this conversation nearly 15 years after that, and I think that probably puts me down to like a 5 or a 6.
Yeah. And
where do you want to be at the end of this? I reckon we can get you to a 5.
I can get if I'm up towards a 3, I'm happy with that. If I can answer some basic questions about it, I'll be happy.
Great. Good stuff.
But as we said, just give me 50 cent and I want to be a 10 out of 10 with 50 cent.
I love how that managed to get on the list. It's madness.
It's going to be a great week. 50 week is going to be brilliant. But yeah, well, thank you very much, Sam, for your thoughts this week.
No problem at all.
And then the next two albums that we've got, which we haven't already passed the first week for, Mad Villain.
Mad
Villainy.
That is probably the most complex album that I think we'll listen to in this whole journey.
It's been the mind boggles at times with that album. It's been crazy. Anyway, sorry, we haven't started.
What's next week's album?
Oh, do you know what? I haven't even.
What are the next two? Where is it?
Oh, Run the Jewels.
Oh, that's great fun. Oh, this is exciting. Is it Run the Jewels 1 or Run the Jewels 2?
Run the Jewels 2.
I can't remember which one we went for. Run the Jewels 2, yes. It's a fucking great album. You will love that album. That is great fun. Right.
I'm looking forward to that, then. I'm going to look forward to this then. So, thank you very much, and see you all next week.
See you next week.
Whenever we do this.
Ciao for now.
Prestige worldwide. Why?